Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Safe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to We'll See About That. I hope you all have returned from a wonderful Thanksgiving. And my producer here, Mike. Mike, how did your Thanksgiving go?
It was pretty good. Turkey was succulent. Sides were delicious. And we had a pumpkin cheesecake for dessert, so I can't complain.
Sounds good. Yes, we still have some leftover pumpkin pie and some strawberry cheesecake. And it became overwhelming for my wife at some point during that day, and she decided to go to bed at 8 o'clock. I think the kids kind of wore her out that day, so it was a terrific time to have with our family and friends, and I hope you all had as equally as good a Thanksgiving. On the sports side of things, the UCLA basketball women's basketball team, the college season is off to a fine start, and Corey Close, remember our guest on the show who had a fine tournament last year, their UCLA Bruins, Lady Bruins, are number two in the country right now. So continued success. Maybe we'll have you back at the turn of the year and see how March Madness might be for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Two fastest growing sports in America by viewership is Formula One racing and women's basketball.
No kidding. Formula racing. I just saw, I think it was, NASCAR that signed that big, big, big $1 billion contract. And speaking of the rivalry week in college football last week, Michigan State or Ohio State, which was your choice?
I'm anti-Harbaugh, and so I'm an Ohio State guy, so yeah. It was a little bit rough last week.
Yeah, I did not care who lost this game. Let's put it that way. It was a tremendous game, and of course, Coach Harbaugh has now served out his suspension. And, of course, he has said that this rivalry, this hatred has been very manufactured. It doesn't seem so, sitting from over here. And, of course, Aaron Rodgers is ready to return to football here soon after tearing his Achilles tendon, or did he? I'm not so sure about that. Deion Sanders was named the Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. How do you go 1-8 in conference and win that? Beyond me. We'll talk more about that at some point, but right now I'd like to thank all of you people who have been supporting our show for quite some time now. I want to let you know that our website is up and alive and well, theronsayshow.com, and you will be able to listen to see who our fewer guests are and a lot of memorabilia and other shows that will come up for you. So please take a look at the website. I'd like to bring on Jerry Rice, our new guest, after this.
Fred Dreyer here, the Heartburn Hunter. You know, when you're young, your immune system is strong. But as you get older, coffee, alcohol, and fast food makes your body acidic. But now there's Balance 7. In just 3 days, it starts diluting the acid buildup in your body. 3 1-ounce drinks a day is all you're going to need. Are you tired of just being sick and tired? Balance 7 is the answer. You'll notice less joint discomfort, more energy, and heartburn is no longer a problem. You'll feel younger and healthier with more mental clarity. I know because I use it every day. Right now, try Balance 7 and get 15% off your order. A free bottle of My Smooth Skin, free shipping, and a money-back guarantee. So you have nothing to lose, folks. Call 800-793-9039 and mention my name, Fred. That's 800-793-9039 or visit balance7.com, code word Fred. Call 800-793-9039, code word Fred.
Are you ready to make a difference for the environment while helping the visually impaired at the same time? Then donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind today by calling 800-785-9618. Every donated vehicle will either be properly recycled in an eco-friendly manner or given a new life through reuse. Donating your vehicle is easy. Simply call 1-800-785-9618 and Heritage for the Blind will do the rest. They'll even arrange for your vehicle to be picked up at no cost to you. And for a limited time, when you donate your car, you'll receive a $200 restaurant voucher and a two-night, three-day hotel stay at one of 50 locations. Call 800-785-9618 right now to schedule your tax-deductible vehicle donation and make a positive impact on the environment while helping others. Heritage for the Blind, where every car donation counts and every person makes a difference. Call 1-800-785-9618 now.
Hi, this is Dodger legend Ron Say. If you're a business owner, would you like to save 20 to 30% on your monthly health insurance premium while improving your benefits? Then give BFF Financial a call. If you have more than 10 employees and you're interested in building a tax-free retirement income that can be funded with tax-deductible dollars, then give BFF Financial a call at 888-908-4BFF. Those are just two of the things that my friends at BFF Financial can help you with. They make some of the most important financial decisions that a business owner must make. Easy to understand. Many of my friends who are business owners always talk about how much they are looking to stretch their budgets and do more for their employees, their family, and themselves. If you are in the same situation, give my friends at BFF Financial a call at 888-908-4BFF. Call the team at BFF Financial at 888-908-4BFF to get a free consultation. Tell them Ron sent you. BFF Financial, simplifying the complex, 888-908-4BFF, or visit us at BFFFinancial.com.
They still call me the Penguin.
And we have returned from break, and we have a very special guest in Jerry Royce. And as being a part of our special guest, Jerry Royce will receive a beautiful fruit basket courtesy of our friends at Melissa's Produce. Melissa's is a proud partner of We'll See About That. And be sure to use my VIP code, Ron Say, when checking out Melissa's.com. Jerry Royce is a guy that's accomplished quite a bit, and a former teammate, won 220-some games. And before we get started on any of that, Jerry, I want to welcome you to the show, and I want to say, how was your Thanksgiving?
Ron, great to be on the show. Thanksgiving was simply outstanding. My wife and I take a trip into Los Angeles, living here in Las Vegas, and get a chance to visit all sides of the family. And we do something special every Thanksgiving. We take a day out and we go to a spot in Los Angeles that none of us have either seen or we haven't been there for a while. 2 years ago, it was the Silver Lake. You realize all the years I live in Los Angeles, I had never seen Silver Lake. This year, we took a tour up to Angeles Crest and then turned the corner left and then came around a little further up north and made our way back home. It was a great trip through the lower mountain part. So got to see a lot of LA the past couple of years that I've never seen. So that's just bonus footage on a Thanksgiving trip. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, you're welcome. You know, you now reside in Las Vegas, and you've done a number of different stints with broadcasting. You've done ESPN. You've been doing a lot of the local sports in Las Vegas. Tell us how you got started out after your career got started.
No, I was always interested in broadcasting after my career. I guess the first time I got the bug was in Pittsburgh in spring training. We were training in Bradenton, and this was Bob Prince, Nellie King, doing switching on the play-by-play. And on days that I didn't have to be in uniform, they asked to have a pitcher come up, or a player, and talk about the game so that they got a chance to know us and a chance to get a taste of broadcasting. And I fell in love with it then. And as the years went by, I listened to some of the best in the business. You know, we had the very best. But growing up in St. Louis, there was Harry Carey, Jack Buck, and Joe Garagiola. Those are three pretty big names. And I learned a lot from listening to them, as well as what I could get from Vin in the times I'd sneak back to the clubhouse for a hot dog. So that's kind of how I learned how to do it. And then I had a stint in college back in the 70s where I did basketball games. I was a math major in college, but once I got behind a microphone, I said, this is more second nature than a math degree will be. So it was on the back burner for a number of years.
Well, good for you. You know, you grew up in Missouri. You were drafted by the Cardinals. You were a second-round draft choice. And in 1967... Your minor league stint was short. Were you always geared to become a player in Major League Baseball? Is this something that you'd had in your blood for quite some time?
No, let me tell you how far back it goes. It goes back to when I was 8 or 9 years old. It was the only time that my dad took me, my older brother by 6 years, and my younger brother by two, to a Sunday afternoon ball game in St. Louis. Now, this was in May, and it was at the first Busch Stadium, which was also Sportsman's Park.
Right.
I remember the excitement of heading toward the turnstiles, eventually getting into the park. And once I stepped up onto that concourse and I saw that green grass, that white warning track, and the pavilion roof out there in right field, and turned around and looked and saw that scoreboard, I said, this is indeed a cathedral. And as the game went on, I fell more in love with it because you could hear Harry doing the play and at the same time watch the game as it happened in front of you. And when you got the excitement of 20, 30,000 people going, that's going to leave an impression on somebody 8 or 9 years old. In fact, on the way home, sitting in the back seat, I said, I'm going to be a Major League Baseball player. My older brother, by 6 years, Jim, turned around. He says, hey, don't we all? But, you know, your chances are one in a million. And one of those rare moments of clarity for somebody 8 or 9 years old. And I said, yeah, but they got to choose one. And why can't that one be me? So that got me started on a frame of mind that everything I'm going to do is, I hope, will lead to a Major League career. But, of course, high school gets in the way of things. And I realized that they didn't give out a whole lot of baseball scholarships. So I was a good student and opted for a baseball-basketball scholarship and received a number of offers around smaller colleges in the Missouri area, but opted to sign a letter of intent with Southern Illinois. Mizzou was also in contention, but Southern Illinois, I was sold on that because the coach, Joe Lutz, was more forward-thinking. But then the Cardinals came along in the middle of June, made an offer I couldn't resist, and I signed that contract and put SIU third on the list, and the rest, they say, is history.
Did you have a favorite player growing up?
Oh, I had plenty of them. I was a front runner.
It's okay.
Make no mistake about it. Sam Musial was everybody's favorite in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And then you had to choose among Red or Ken Boyer, or if you were a pitcher, it would be Bob Gibson.
Yeah.
Later on, Tim McCarver. All these guys were favorites. And the interesting thing, and much to my delight, as a kid collecting baseball cards just maybe 5 or 6 years beforehand, I had a chance to meet all of them and got to know them on a first-name basis after my first spring training. So a dream come true? Well, you betcha.
Yeah, I always liked the idea that we brought our fabled players to spring training. I got a big kick out of sharing stories, seeing them in uniform, getting to know who they are, you know, not only inside the uniform but outside. I miss that. I miss that a lot. I really felt like that was a very special treat because all those guys, I think, looked forward to that experience as well. And I know, as well as you do, that when they came to Dodger Stadium during the course of a year, that they always stopped in the clubhouse and said hello. And that was always a great feeling to have, you know, their support, because they were the foundation of everything back then.
Oh, they set the tone for us, didn't they? See, I feel triply blessed because with the Cardinals, I had known all of them before I ever put on the uniform. In fact, what surprised me about the Cardinals, they had an old-timers game. It was either in 70 or 71. They brought back one of the world championship teams from the 40s. I can't remember, 44, 46. The interesting thing was that all of those guys knew the names of all the current players. So when I walked up to introduce myself to him, said, Jerry, I know all about you. And that just kind of floored me. Well, I had a similar experience in Pittsburgh. That 1960 Pittsburgh club had Vern Law, Bob Friend, right. Elroy Face, Bill Mazeroski. All of those guys were around the ballpark and occasionally made their way down to spring training. And like you say with the Dodgers, well, they did it a little bit different with the Dodgers because, my God, to throw in that string area in the bullpen where they had six, maybe eight mounds, and on any given day you'd have the likes of, let's say, Carl Erskine, Sandy Koufax, Preacher Rowe, Clem Labine, and any number of former Dodgers, particularly the guys from the 50s, they were there in uniform. And if you had a question or you wanted to work on something, they'd come right up to you and give you some one-on-one, unlike you got anywhere else.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Like I said, triply blessed. And the way the Dodgers did it, it's just mind-blowing to me still today when I think about it.
You know, you mentioned those names, and you know, Ralph Branca was also one of them. You know, Roy Campanella was in his wheelchair. We had so many players that really, Duke Snider, Pee Wee Reese. You know, Pee Wee used to work with Rex Bradley at Hillerich and Bradsby. So he was around for spring training bringing our bats. But to have all this history and tradition become life form, and you get to meet these people that you've been reading about and mingling with is really a special treat for all of us. And I know that you enjoyed that as well. We have a segment coming to a close. We're going to be right back right after this message with our special guest, Jerry Royce, winner of 220 games in his career.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. If you've had a revision or removal surgery of a hernia mesh implant after 2008, pay close attention to this message. Hernia mesh manufacturers have recalled some of the mesh material that may have been used in your surgery due to high failure rate. The FDA has even blamed the recalled mesh material for some of the worst of the health issues reported by doctors and patients. If you've had two or more hernia surgeries for the same issue and you're having severe complications, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now.
800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. That's 800-817-2968.
If you're moving to another state, you're getting a fresh start in a brand new town. And when you choose a moving company to help get your valuable possessions to that new home of yours, you want somebody that's going to take care of your things like you would. That's why you need to call Colonial Van Lines. They're America's number one moving company for a reason. Because they'll take care of your things like they would their possessions. They'll use caution so nothing gets damaged. And they won't treat you like a number, they'll treat you like a friend. And when you call now on a qualified move across state lines, they'll give you a $250 discount. Move your things the right way. Call Colonial Van Lines now for a free quote.
Call now to learn more about this special $250 long-distance move discount. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. That's 800-847-0225.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC Rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra-high quality, ultra-reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Hello, Ron Save. And we are back after the break with our special guest, Jerry Royce. And Jerry, you probably recognize this, but you won 220 games. And you won more games than Oral Hershiser, 201. You won more games than Bobby Welsh, and I think his was like 215. You won more games than Charlie Huff, who had 211. And you had more wins than Fernando Valenzuela, who had 173. I don't think you got as much credit you deserved. Those are spectacular numbers. And, you know, the standards for all of this has changed over the years because of the metrics. But you were a two-time All-Star, a world champion. You finished second in the Cy Young Award voting, I think, to Steve Carlton one of those years, correct? And that's right. You had a no-hitter, and I want to talk about the no-hitter that you threw in San Francisco that I was a part of.
Yeah, that no-hitter, it always comes up. I told people, I said, when my obit is written, and I hope it's years from now, I guarantee you that within the first paragraph, that no-hitter is going to be mentioned, playing in the World Series is going to be mentioned, and the rest, well, it's probably all going to be fluff, and it's going to be about family. But that no-hitter, it stays with me. And Ron, one thing about that no-hitter I found out over the years, it's no longer mine. Because people have sent me emails, they've contacted me through Facebook or at speaking engagements, and they said, I remember when you did that. I was sitting with my grandpa, or I was sitting with my dad. And then they come on with a story that's better than anything that I could manufacture.
Yeah.
So that no-hitter, it doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to the Dodgers. Yeah. It belongs to the world, yeah. And I'm glad of it.
Yeah, it is a special thing.
Very much so. And also, it was so close to being a perfect game, too. You know, if not for friend of the show and great, great guy, Bill Russell, committed to that throwing error. How did you feel about that? And did Bill Russell have to buy you a car after that?
No, I'll tell you about that. It happened in the first inning. There were two men out, routine ground ball off the bat of Jack Clark. And Russell threw one into that one hop Steve Garvey over at first. Now, Garv usually caught those kinds of balls, but this one hit off the heel of his glove, bounced out, and Clark was safe. Now, it was in the first inning. You don't think anything like that because there's still a lot of ball game to play. But it played a big part as the game went on. And here's how, is that it altered the batting order. Mm-hmm. So instead of 1-2-3 coming around three times in the game, it was 1-2-3 the first time. And after that, it became 2-3-4. And I think that was a big factor as far as pitching a no-hitter. And besides, I believe that Jack Clark hurt himself running out that ground ball, had one more at bat, and came out of the ballgame. Now, Clark was one of those guys that just hammered me. So with him out of the ballgame, I just thought that increased the odds of pitching a no-hitter. So it's one of those things. But how important was pitching the game with just an error and just one batter away from a perfect game? You remember Leonard Coppett?
Yes, I do.
Hall of
yes.
Fame sports writer in the Bay Area. He came up with the best explanation of all, and I'll run with this. He said, instead of a perfect game where you have to get 27 outs, I got the equivalent of 28, one more than that perfect game. I'll live with it.
Yeah, you're one of those players that will be etched in the history of Major League Baseball by throwing a no-hitter, and quite honestly, you're in a very small percentage. So once again, congratulations on that. But I now want to turn to, you said you got, you know, racky-tacked by Jack Clark. Who was another guy that wore you out, and who did you have a good time that was a big-time player with?
Yeah, you know, I looked that up a couple of years ago because I was asked that question, and when I went to retrosheet.org.
Okay.
And it has pitcher batter matchups.
Right.
And you go through a whole array of people that I've seen over the course of 22 seasons. There were some surprises.
as always.
And going both ways. But probably the guys that wore me out the best was Bob Watson. Jack Clark was among them. But the best of them, or the worst of them, depending on how you look at it, was Mike Schmidt.
Really?
Schmidt hit 10 home runs off of me.
Oh,
he also hit one off me in the playoffs in 83. And I was asked one time, why do you think that Schmidt hits you so well? And I hemmed and hawed about it. I tried throwing him this. I tried changing the sequence there. And I came down to the simple fact that Schmidt happens.
I like that.
Jerry, what was your best pitch? What was your go-to payoff pitch?
It was a cutter when I was with the Dodgers. Prior to that, I was more of a high ball pitcher. But I wasn't winning. I was a 500 pitcher pitching elevated in the strike zone. But when I came up with a cutter, I also changed my thoughts about pitching, and that is trying to get somebody out on one of the first three pitches. It's also mandatory when I was a pitching coach to let my pitchers know, you throw two out of those first three pitches for strikes, a lot of good things are going to happen. You get to that one-and-one count, and if you go two-and-one, the averages as opposed to one-and-two are about 100 to 150 points different. You can look it up. That's what Casey would say. So get somebody out in one of the first three pitches, and you're going to find out, like I did, that the infield that I had behind me, it was a good infield. Each infielder had their strengths and their weaknesses, but together they played greater than the sum of the parts. And when I was pitching and getting guys out on an early count, suddenly they became a step or so better than what they were normally. And I get plays being made behind me that other pitchers wouldn't get, guys who went deeper into the count. The other thing is that you're going to have quicker ball games. And the team that I played for in Los Angeles was a better offensive team and starting pitching than they were defensive. So you had to sacrifice a little bit on the defense to get the offense in there. But something that was an intangible was the way that these guys behind me played together. You put it all together, you're going to find a team that's always in the hunt in September. And that's what appealed to me most about being with the Dodgers. But that change of thought and change of pitching really was the difference for me, because after that, I became a winning pitcher somewhere. I can't even remember how many I won for the Dodgers, but a whole lot better percentage. And we got to the postseason a couple of times. It's always a bonus as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you know, one of your assets, too, was, you know, you worked quickly. And I think that that helps the focus of the infield. You won 18 games, I think, three different times in your career.
I did.
And, you know, you had a low of like a 2.3 ERA.
You know, I did in 81.
Yeah. And, you know, you pitched with a group of guys that I oftentimes feel like they didn't get as much credit in Dodger history. You know, you pitched with Burt, you pitched with Bobby Welsh. You had a short thing there when Fernando came in. But you know, you pitched with Doug Rau, you pitched with we just had a really good group of guys. I felt that were able to do a lot better job. I always thought that Burt got a lot less credit than he was deserving of.
Yeah, you know, maybe so. But you know, that's one of those things that are subjective. And when you look at the numbers and you look at how they performed, particularly in 81 with Burt, I think he threw over 30 innings and gave up just three runs in the postseason.
Yeah.
But yet, they don't talk that much about him. Of course, Bobby, with his postseason heroics against Reggie Jackson, that's something else to be written about. But you brought up something earlier about winning ball games. I want to make a remark about, maybe you don't get the credit. But I looked at the numbers as far as all of the guys who have ever pitched in the major leagues, and I was told a couple of years ago it was around 8,000. And I looked at the number of games I won and where I sat all time, and I'm in the top 100. So you figure out the percentages of that, it puts me in the top 1%. So that means that I made my mark,
yes,
and I'm
did.
Satisfied with that. The Hall of Fame is great, and if you're deserving of it, then by all means, you should be selected and get and enjoy all that comes with it. But I'll take what I have. 22 years with 8 different teams, 15 different managers, and the good times that I had and the bad times that I suffered through, I wouldn't trade it. Wouldn't trade it for anything.
No question about it. Tremendous longevity to your career, and that's a tribute to, I think, your understanding and the success that you had. Your physical talent takes you to a certain point, but the mental aspect of it has to carry you through that. The mental aspect of it gets you through those tough days. Your body can't do it alone. So,
Hey, I got to ask you this since you're talking about it. Between starts, you know, the workouts that I had to do, I threw once between starts. Thinking back, I would have liked to have done 2 times between starts. But the day after, in my mind, I examined the game. What did I like? What I didn't like? And then when I had to do my distance running, because I did both distance and cardio running, the sprints. And I'd get out there on those 4-mile jaunts that I'd have, and I start thinking about the game. Then I turn the page and start thinking about the next one. And I thought in my mind as I'm out there running, and this pushed me, I am going to out-train the next guy. I'm going to outthink him. And then I'm going to out-pitch his ass and watch me go. That's how I got myself through some of those things.
I applaud you for it because you understood the points of which you needed to become better and focused and do your job as the best of your capabilities, and it shows. I can't understand how you went to UC Santa Barbara, but you dropped out. Were the academics too high for you back then? I mean, you figured out everything else.
that was a decision that I made in the winter of 1974. And the term, the college term, that winter term, extended over into spring training, and I thought that I could skip spring training.
And I'm going to have to stop you right here because we got a break. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, I came as fast as I could. What's wrong?
Everything's okay. I just need you to know I'm glowing up.
You just texted SOS Get Here Now.
And I stand by that because I switched to Cricket and got the all-new Motorola Razr. I have entered my flip era, and I am glowing up.
I'm going to go back home.
I support that.
Switch to Cricket and get the all-new Motorola Razr for $199.99. Smile, you're on Cricket.
Must open a new line on a $60 a month voice plan. First month service charge and tax due at sale. Fees, terms, and restrictions apply. See CricketWireless.com for details.
Honey, come here, quick!
What is it?
Shh, check it out. All these highly rated wines are under $20. Total Wine must have made a mistake.
Nope, they always have the lowest prices. Oh, remember that amazing rosé your sister brought over last week? See, it's right here.
Whoa, that's a low price. I mean, whoa, that's a low price.
With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly. B21.
Kia America honors veterans by connecting highly trained former military technicians with meaningful new careers at Kia retailers through the Kia Veterans Technician Apprenticeship Program, VTAP. Launched earlier this year in partnership with Educational Resource Systems Incorporated, the program is a U.S. Department of Labor and GI Bill approved national apprenticeship. Kia VTAP provides master-level trained veteran technicians with career access to hundreds of participating Kia retailers nationwide. Eligible veterans may also elect to receive a substantial monthly GI Bill stipend during their 12-month apprenticeship. Greg Silvestri, Vice President, Service Operations.
Kia VTAP is delivering skilled and experienced military veterans to our retailers during this period of unprecedented record sales and growth. I'm inspired by the quality and tenacity of these veterans as we honor them and all military veterans who served in the U.S. Armed Forces.
For more information, visit KiaVets.com. Sponsored by Kia America.
Are you looking for a guilt-free holiday season? Check out 100calsnacks.com. With 100% natural ingredients and no sugar added, these snacks are low in carbs, but high in protein and fiber, and absolutely delicious. You'll get a kick out of the chocolate brownies with ashwagandha, and use code NOGUILT for 25% off your order. That's the number 100calsnacks.com. Get the energy boost you need with a potent dose of superfood for just 100 calories. That's 100calsnacks.com.
Hi. What brings you to the clinic today?
Oh, the baby's not feeling well. I think she might have a fever.
Ah, well, let's check her temp with the Exergen thermometer. You're right. These Exergen thermometers are very accurate. Reads 101.2.
Oh, gosh. Well, that Exergen thermometer sure is fast and easy to use.
Yes, and many doctors recommend Exergen for home use.
Exergen thermometers, backed by over 100 clinical studies, are available at Walgreens and participating retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Steve Carlin going head-to-head with Ron Say. High drive into deep left field. Back goes Lisinski. It's gone! Fred Slammer!
2-2 to Say. It's high in the air to deep left field. Winfield back. She's gone!
This Week in Dodger History is brought to you by BFF Financial. The solutions are ours. The decisions are yours.
And this week in Dodger history, presented by BFF Financial. 1970, the Cubs trade veteran knuckleballer Hoyt Wilhelm, who's got one of the great baseball names of all time, to the Braves for Hal Breeden, a minor league first baseman used sparingly before being dealt to the Expos at the start of the 1972 season. Atlanta then releases the future Hall of Fame relief pitcher known as Old Sarge to his teammates in June, but he finishes the season with the Dodgers.
I have a story to tell about Hoyt after this, but I want you to take a look at my book, Penguin Power. It's now available on the website at theronsayshow.com, and you can get your autographed copy there. That is something that we've been able to finally get up and working, so I hope you visit that site. Jerry, I wanted to let you finish what you were saying at the close of the last segment, if you can remember that.
The winter. Yeah, the winter of 74, I was with the Pirates, and I wanted to attend school at UCSB. And I signed up for the winter term and then told General Manager Joe Brown that I'll come to spring training when school's out. Joe called me and said, you'll come before March 1st, otherwise you'll be fined every day. So I had no choice in the matter. It was time to play baseball. But that particular winter, I worked out with UCSB the entire winter and stayed in shape. I was in great baseball shape, went down to spring training, had a great spring, and ended up on the All-Star team in 1975. It was a mishandled decision on my part. It should have been handled a lot better, but the results came out. I was the winner, and it also got the Pirates into the postseason, helped get the Pirates into the postseason in 1975.
You were 18-11 that year.
Well, yeah. One of the three times you won 18 games. Did you have a favorite catcher that you liked to pitch to, that you felt like you were in sync with, that just worked better than others?
You know, when I threw to Johnny Bench in the 75 All-Star game, I threw to him for three innings. And the way he received the ball, the way he set up behind the plate, his thought process, it's something that I recognized immediately as superior. He just had an air about him behind the plate. That was only three innings. I can imagine what it would have been like to pitch to him on a regular basis. He would have made any pitcher better. Going to the Dodgers, I was blessed with two of the best catchers I've ever thrown to, Steve Yeager and Mike Socha. Yeah. But they couldn't be more different. As the hitter, Yeager was right-handed, all power. Didn't hit much for average. Socha didn't hit much for power, but his average and ability to spray the ball over all over the field meant that Lasorda could put him anywhere in the lineup, and he could take over that particular position in the batting order. When calling a game, I remember once I talked to Yeager before the game. I said, let's go over the hitters. He had a cigarette going and a cup of coffee, cream and sugar. And he had that burner. And he says, well, what do you got? And I said, I'm going to do this, do that. I said, for our signs, let's put one with a point for a cutter. And then we'll use the pinky for a sinker. And then, of course, we'll mix in the curveball. And then we'll add a couple of changeups as we go along. And this is all after we went through the hitters. He looked at me, took another drag in that cigarette, blew a smoke ring up above me, and he says, look, I'm going to put down two fingers for a fastball. Throw it where you want. I'll catch it. Your curveball, it isn't worth a hoot anyway, so don't worry about it. A changeup. When have you ever thrown a changeup? That was our pregame meeting. Mike Socha. Total contrast with Mike Socha. There was a game I was pitching against the Cubs, Now, warming up, the cutter was right where it was supposed to be. But when I got out to the mound, it disappeared. A couple of hitters, they hit a couple of line drives off me, including Ryne Sandberg, just missed a home run by a couple of inches. So she comes out and says, that cutter ain't cutting. We got to think of something else. Here's what I suggest. He had set up a game plan for the rest of the game. We're going to go with a sinker, change speeds on it, use the cutter inside to set up for the sinker away. They're going to be looking for the cutter, but they're not going to get it. Well, guess what? That game, I pitched a shutout, and I give it all the credit in the world to Mike for coming up with a game plan ad hoc that helped us win a ball game. Two different guys, two different ways of approaching a game, and two great catchers that I was glad to be teammates with.
Well, they certainly did. They've etched themselves in Dodger history as two of the finer catchers, no question about it. I wanted to ask you about today's game. You know, we've gone through a lot of changes, a lot of pitching changes. You know, you were geared differently, as was all of baseball back then. The metrics have changed everything from a pitching standpoint, the pitch count, the ability to only go five innings or six innings. How do you relate to that?
Well, there's a pitch total and a pitch count. They're two different things, and I'll explain how. The pitch total is the number of pitches that you've thrown during the game. The pitch count is what you're accumulating as time is going on. We had pitch counts back then. I remember because I used to keep that little ticker for Ron Paranoski, and he had me report on the guy who pitched before me, which was usually Bob Welch, every 25 pitches. Let me know at 25, 50, and 75. We'll play it after that. So they had an idea of just how strong somebody would be that third time through the order. Now, you got to know as a hitter, you've pretty much seen everything that somebody has to offer. That's part of the reason why I said get somebody out in one of the first three pitches and save a pitch that you may need in a tight situation that third, maybe fourth time through the order. So it was just a different way of approaching it. Do I like it? No, I wouldn't have liked it with the mentality that I had back then. But going through the minor league system and maybe even college or high school with a pitch count and saying that I can only go five or six innings and go through the order twice, well, maybe I would have given in because that's the way things were done. I still don't like it today, but that's the old school coming out in me. Other things that I don't particularly care for, I never needed it, but as you mentioned earlier in the podcast, that I pitch fast and get the ball, let's go. There's not a whole lot to think about here if you do your planning ahead of time. But other guys, I remember as a coach, other pitchy coaches used to say, relax, take your time. You got all the time in the world. And I'm thinking, no, you can't do that. But there's some thought about guys pitching too fast and not giving their body a chance to get the strength back for the next pitch. Well, that's training. That's what we call training. And you gear yourself for that before spring training even begins. I don't like starting an inning with a runner on second. What? Yeah. What is this? Is this amateur ball?
Yeah.
We don't do this.
Yeah.
We're the major leagues. But it's an effort to keep managers from pulling somebody who's a fielder and putting them out in the mound. Fans pay top dollar to see some of these ball games, and they shouldn't have to see a gimmick like this when they go to a major league ball game. But it's all part and parcel. Now, before I chase the kids off the lawn, let me tell you this. I don't like the fact that managers don't wear uniforms, full uniforms. I don't like it when pitching coaches don't wear full uniforms. You're a team, for Christ's sakes. Get out there and wear the same uniform the way that you expect the players to wear it. As far as the decorated bats, go ahead. If you wear jewelry, tuck it in. All right? Stay with the team colors. I like the way Lasorda did that with regards to the shoes that we wore. If they're blue and they're white, they're good enough. That's what we wear. But today, well, it seems that I guess baseball's given in because players have contracts for shoes. And the shoes that they wear, particularly at an all-star game or when there's going to be a lot of people watching, well, Yeah, they're going to get some extra bucks for that. But, you know, I'm still thinking about the game. Uniform is big to me. Let me tell you, when I was a kid and I got my first Little League uniform, that was the only suit I had, the only suit I ever wore. Hell, I'd have worn it to church if Dad had let me. But I like to put that thing on and then roll the uniform bottom so that the stirrups would show just right. And then I put the tape around it and then go out there knowing that I look like a ball player, the way that Sandy did, the way that Mickey Mantle did, the way that DiMaggio did, the way that Stan did. That to me was dressing for a major league ball game. Now, let me go back inside, sit down, cool off, and let the kids play on the lawn.
You're so right about the uniform. I mean, I remember my first little uniform. I wanted to, you know, wear it to bed as pajamas. I wanted to wear it all the time. And also about the managers, there's nothing more funny than seeing a fat guy wearing a, you know, a 65-year-old fat guy wearing a baseball uniform.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, you've said it well. I couldn't have said it better. So you're not a fan of the bullpen games either, right?
Oh, God. what was it, a couple of years ago that it's an important playoff game, and it might have even been a World Series. It kind of all run together now. And the manager was asked about his pitching rotation, and he gets to the third game of the playoffs, the third game of the World Series, says, no, we're going to have a bullpen game. A what? A bullpen game. How can you not plan to have a starting pitcher available in the most important games that you're going to play during the course of the season and opt for a bullpen game? You have an opener. You don't have a starter. You have an opener. He pitches an inning or two, and the other manager may change his lineup a little bit. I've been away from the game, Ron, long enough that I don't really follow the thinking that managers – and the people from the front office who do all of the numbers and send them down to fully understand what it is they're trying to do.
Well, now, they've lost me a long time ago.
As I say all of this, I sit here, I have no remedies or I have no thoughts on how to get it back the way it used to be. This is the way baseball is. I still enjoy watching it. I still enjoy seeing the best in the business go out there and perform to their capabilities. It's still fun for me.
No question. And I wanted to bring up two notable career events that happened. We're kind of running down on time, so we're going to have to be short on this. But you decided to be joining up with Jay Johnstone a lot in your clubhouse pranks, and you decided to drag the infield. And in the attire of the people who do the infield, tell us how that came about.
No, that was Ken Brett in 1979, the first time I did it. Yeah, Brett came to me. We were teammates in Pittsburgh, and he never had a serious moment until he said, what haven't you done in this game that you'd like to do? Well, that kind of took me back. I said, I'm going to play in a World Series, play in another All-Star game. And I just named a whole bunch of things. And I said, what about you? He says, I want to dress up like the ground crew and drag the infield. I started laughing. And he says, I'd like to do it tonight. Want to know if you want to do it with me. And at that moment, I thought of all the reasons why I shouldn't do it. But what came out of my mouth was, what time you want to go down? So we ended up doing that. And then Jay, when he came over from the Phillies, was bugging me about it. He says, let's do it. I think it was in September in a game against the Pirates. We finally dressed up like the ground crew and went out and did it. Now, we got nailed 250 for this. That's what Lasorda said.
That's it.
And then he said, Jay, you grab a bat and go up and pinch hit for the pitcher. Wouldn't you know it, Jay hits a home run, a pinch home run gives us the lead. So, and I thought, this is one for the Hall of Fame. You drag the infield one half inning. The next, you had a home run to give your team the lead. So when Jay comes around, tags all the bases, Lasorda gives him a hug and says, your fine is cut in half. And I go, whoa, 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 what about me? He says, you sit your ass down next to me. I want to know where you are every minute for the rest of this game. So, yeah, that was it. Now I understand, if I'm not mistaken.
Hold on, Jerry. We got to take a break. Hold on, Jerry. We got to take a break. You're long-winded. We'll be right back after this.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again.
Ouch!
Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. If you administer insulin three or more times per day or use an insulin pump, call now and learn how a CGM can help you.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free and they took care of all the paperwork.
You can reduce pain right away. Plus, it's accurate, easy to use, and helps you spend more time in range. And if you have insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now and get free shipping of your new CGM. Plus, we'll bill your insurance for you. 800-390-5160. 800-390-5160. 800-390-5160. That's 800-390-5160.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right. For about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing-fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it. And you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-617-5145. 800-617-5145. 800-617-5145. That's 800-617-5145.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property, and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
Okay, we're back with our final segment with our guest, Jerry Royce, and the long-winded Jerry Royce. And we're going to let him finish up here, and then we're going to have to cut it short. But go ahead, Jerry. You're on again.
All right. Well, anyway, he finds us both 250. Jay hits the home run. His fine is cut in half, and I still have to pay the 250. Remember Bud Ferrillo, who used to walk around with a live mic during batting practice? Well, he gets wind of what happened, puts it out over the air on KABC, and suddenly people are sending money in to cover the fines. And Lasorda, trying to be a hard ass, says, no, I got to find him. Finally, he calls us into the office and says, I'm not going to find either of you guys. If any money comes in, we'll pool it and send it to a charity. But don't do this again. But now, as I was saying, just as we broke, is that I believe at one time the Dodgers gave this away as a gift at for Fan Appreciation Day. Now you can have a chance to drag the infield just like the professionals. How times have changed.
No question. And I do, as I'm going to let you drift off into the night, close with this. I want to thank you for the in-game entertainment you provided us, especially when we were out on the field, when you had a group of players moon us from the hallway.
Oh, no.
And that was it was quite a delight seeing that in the seventh inning on numerous occasions. But, Jerry, I want to thank you so much for your joining us on the show tonight. It's been a real pleasure catching up with you again. Continued success, bring in the right-hander. Hope that continues to go well, and I hope to talk to you again soon. Thanks so much for joining us.
Ron, it was a pleasure visiting with you. Sorry I got a little long-winded, but when we talk ball, well, these stories are going to pop up. Continued success with your book, and good luck on this podcast. I hope this one is the one that makes the big difference with you and puts you up there with all the big boys.
Well, it's the number one show on the weekend. That's no question with you on here. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Jerry. We'll talk soon.
Okay, you take care. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Jerry.
And I want to thank all of you for joining us again. I want to remind you to follow us on Instagram, the official Ronce Show. And please join us next week. Have a great weekend.